Hey everyone, welcome to this extra special episode of Bitches on Comics with Vengeance of Vamprilla writer Tom Sniagoski. Sound might be a little bit different for this one, and that's because Sarah's the person who edited it, not Kate. Kate is a professional, Sarah, who is myself, is not a professional. Or is a professional, but is a professional other things. On that surprisingly cryptic note, this is the episode. I hope you enjoy. Earth Control Pill is still the person who does the music. Check her out at earthcontrolpill.bandcamp.com.
Welcome to Bitches on Comics. I'm your host, Essie Fleenor.
And I'm Sarah Century, and today we have a special guest, Tom Sniagoski.
Hey, welcome. How are you? Tom is here.
How did everything start with Vamprilla? How did you first get involved with this character?
I met an editor for Harris Comics. Harris Comics had just acquired the rights to all the old Warren publishing material, which is where Vamprilla was originally published in the 60s in the black and white magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So Harris had acquired all the Warren material through an auction. So they also published, Warren also published Creepy and Eerie, and I was a huge fan of Creepy and Eerie growing up. And this editor actually knew nothing about the characters that appeared in Creepy and Eerie. I started talking to her at a convention, and she was like, "Oh man, can you come and help me with this stuff? Because I don't know any of this stuff." So I had pitched her a bunch of new ideas and stuff, spinning out of the original Creepy and Eerie. And while that was going on, they had Vamprilla was already started, and I believe it was Kurt Busiek was writing the original run of Vamprilla.
Right.
And he, for some reason, he had to leave the project. He left it like halfway through issue two,
mm-hmm.
and was the name of my editor, Melanie Crawford Chadwick. She came to me basically in a panic and said, "Can you pick up this? Can you pick up Vamprilla for me? Can you do it?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think I can swing that." So that was my very first Vamprilla story, was the second half of issue two of the monthly Vamprilla title, which I think ran for about five issues. And then they stopped that and in about like 1994 and started Vengeance of Vamprilla. And I was on that for 25 issues, as well as like miniseries that spun out of it and different characters and stuff like that. So that's like kind of my original Vamprilla work was the Harris stuff.
Yeah, Vamprilla has now changed companies. I think, what is it, three times? Now they're at Dynamite.
It was originally Warren, and then it was Harris, and then Dynamite acquired her a couple of years ago. So yeah, so now her new home is Dynamite, which is where I'm doing the new run of Vengeance of Vamprilla.
And Tom, you took like just a small break, right, between the last run and this one, right?
Yeah, about 25 years.
Except for the one series, right? Because you did Vamprilla Strikes, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was different writers. So I did like the first story arc, and then there were a couple of other writers, like David Quinn, I think, did a story arc.
I did
one arc for Vamprilla Strikes, and that with the artist was Ed McGuinness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Superman for DC, and I think he does Avengers now for Marvel and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who actually lived across the street from me. I live in a small town called Stoughton, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And when I moved in, I got this call from this kid who said, "Mr. Sniagoski, I want to do comics. Can I come over to your house and show you my portfolio?"
Oh my god, that's so cute.
The rest is history. I mean,
yeah,
I got
now
him,
he's huge. He's very famous.
Yeah, I got him his Vamprilla gig.
Oh, wow. That's so incredible. I have never heard that story. That is great. That is also like the strangest way almost that I've heard some pretty weird people breaking into comic stories, oh, yeah. But that one is a little bit odd.
But he was great. I mean, he came over with the portfolio. We looked through it. It was really good. The stuff was really nice. We went to lunch. We talked comics over lunch and everything. And then after that, I started working on trying to get him, you know, get him a gig on Vampirella at Harris.
Oh, wow. On the original Vengeance of Vampirella, you worked with Amanda Connor a little bit, right?
I did, yeah. I worked with Amanda on the Death and Destruction run, and I think she might have done a couple of issues even prior to that.
I remember that she does the Warren Ellis series that I think comes right after the ending of Vengeance of Vampirella.
Yeah, I think she does. I don't remember the name of that one, but yeah.
Yeah, so how was it coming back to this character? Because, I mean, 25 is...
It's interesting because I did a... Nick Barucci is the president of Dynamite, and I've known Nick for years and years and years. So he always, every time I talked to Nick, Nick was like, you know, you got to come back and do Vampirella. And I'm like, just ask me. Tell me when you want me to come back, and I'll do it. So I had done a miniseries. Another Vampirella Strikes miniseries, maybe about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, and that was like five or six issues. So that was kind of like my return to Vampirella. But then, when Vampirella was turning 50, Nick approached me and said, "We want to do something special. How would you like to pick up your run 25 years ago, 25 years after the end of your run?" In that world, your universe, the characters that you created in that universe, we're just going to let you pick up where you left off. How would that be? And I was like, sold.
You know, yeah. Sounds awesome.
Yeah. There was not a moment's hesitation. I was like, I definitely have to do that.
Yeah, do you think it's kind of helpful to have a character? Because, I mean, you know, Vampirella has died a few times in her continuity. and it doesn't really get addressed. They're just kind of like, well, you know, or I mean, I guess in Vampirella Lives, they do kind of be like, she died, but here she is again. And but, you know, obviously, like, continuity has changed. So I don't know. I was just curious if it's kind of helpful or if it adds or if it's a little bit different even just to have a character that, you know, is kind of sans continuity because so much other comic books are so heavily entrenched.
Right. Well, you know, what made this special for me is because they allowed me to ignore everybody else's continuity and just pay attention to mine. So, right. I mean, that was the coolest thing in the world was just to say, okay, I don't have to fill in the blanks from Warren Ellis's run or Grant Morrison's run or James Robinson's run. I've got only my stuff to concern myself with. So I went back and reread all my run and I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Ended in a really cool place. And then I had to sit down and figure out, all right, how do I bring her back? Why do I bring her back? What's the shape of the world that, you know, that we left at the end of Death and Destruction? So yeah, it was really kind of fun. It was really cool.
I think that it lends to Vampirella having more these kind of concise and epic storylines that get to kind of run the gamut. We see a ton of creators get to do, you know, Vampirella stories. So there's just so many different people who have worked on her. So it's really cool to see these different, you know, iconic runs. So that's one of my favorite things about it is just to be like, yeah, so there's the Vengeance of Vampirella run, which is, you know, she definitely dies in and comes back and, you know, goes into future and all of this stuff. But then there's, you know, the Christopher Priest run, which is totally different stuff, right? But it still is all Vampirella.
Yeah.
She's somebody who I think people a lot of people write her really well. And I think that that's amazing about her.
And I think everybody brings their own little flavor to the character, mm-hmm. too. And she's a kind of character that allows that.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you don't mind it almost. You know, it's kind
of
like
she never seems out of character to me. And no matter who's writing her, I'm like, yeah, that's Vampirella.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Oh wow. So yeah, I love the beginning of the. Sorry, Essie. I love the beginning of the new Vengeance of Vampirella series where she comes back from the dead. Essentially, that's kind of that first issue. I thought that was really great.
So good.
Yeah, it's almost a question, but it's mostly just me being like, "That was cool. What was that like coming up with that? Because it was really good."
Thank you.
Yeah,
and it looked really nice too. The artwork, Michael Stamaria was amazing. is the colorist. He's fantastic on it. Yeah, everybody's doing a really nice job on the book.
So I was wondering, you know, you take a 25-year break, just a little break.
Yeah, just a break.
Just a little tad.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, like, did you have to, like, do some stuff to get back in her mind? Did you, like, drink a glass of blood or, like, punch the wall? Like, how did you, like, get back to Vampy?
You know what's really funny? I kind of was almost dreading. I was like, oh, my God, I wonder if I still have my Vampy mojo. Yeah, because it's been so long. And I wasn't two pages in. When I was flying, it was kind of like, nope, I know this character. I know this world. I know these bad guys. This is fantastic. And it was one of the easiest things that I've ever slid into in regards to returning to something that I'd done in the past. It was amazing. It was super, super easy.
Do you know why that is?
I don't know. I you know what? Maybe because she was so important to my my initial comics career. That it was just like, it was like almost like coming home, you know, it was like this really special occasion that I get to play with that character again. So it was just super, super fun.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I wish so much you love her. It's like, oh, yes, I'm so happy.
I didn't remember. Were you the one who created Nyx or was Nyx a callback? Because
no, I created Nyx.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
what went into creating Nyx?
You know what? It was one of those things where we always talked about the Chaos Lords and the Chaos Gods and stuff like that. And I was like, they're kind of, I don't know, abstract. You know what I mean? So I was like, what if we had the physical embodiment of chaos as Vampy's like arch nemesis? So
slash girlfriend.
Yeah, she crushes on her so hard. She's like in the new one where she's just like, Vamprilla is coming back. I'm just like, oh wow.
I love it. It's so cute. It's just like this character who's full of just, you know, hate and evil and misery is like, but Vampy.
Nobody's as good as Vampy.
Well, what's interesting in my take is she's responsible for the resurrection of Vampirella because she's bored.
Right, yeah, totally. Right. I know.
That's such a cool reason. Like, I think whenever a character is motivated by boredom, I think we don't, like, writers don't do that enough. It's like such a relatable thing. Right? Like, stupid things I have done because I am bored. I don't think I would resurrect my nemesis, but you know what? Who knows? 25 years of boredom, I might.
Yeah, I loved how you kind of toy with Vamprilla as being this longer narrative, right? Because there's, you know, in the future, there's the kid who's listening to the stories of the Vamprilla and all of that. Yeah. That stuff is really cool. Do you think? I mean, I'm just kind of curious why you feel like Vamprilla is such a resonant character, because this is somebody who's gone through such, you know, so many company changes, so many creative changes. And yeah, she's just as popular as ever. I mean, there's what, like four ongoing Vamprilla series.
I think there's like two monthlies and then like various miniseries and stuff.
Right.
Honestly, I think what I think about I think the character gets a bum rap for one thing. I think initially when somebody sees the character, they immediately think, oh, Jesus Christ, a half naked woman. Oh, great. I mean, that's terrible. You know, they roll their eyes. But I think once they go beyond the look of the character and get into the character herself, I think they see that she's this really strong badass of a character that they kind of go, oh, that's what she's about. I thought she was just running around in a bathing suit. But yeah, I think once you get beyond that look, you kind of scratch the surface of what a complicated character she can be. A lot of people don't give her that credit though. They just go by the look. They go by the cover of the book and then just skip it from there. But I've actually had a lot of people that have said, no, trust me, read this, read the character, see the character, embrace the character. But yeah, definitely.
And you can't be a badass.
Right.
Like, that's, we've talked about it before in the pod. Like, we love that about Vampy. We like that she wears what she wants to wear. It's her choice to wear the clothing and, you know, different routes to the costume, but like there's a reason. And so I think that we've always been like, we we love it. Like, we're here for it.
Because she also changes her outfit all of the time. Like, she, it's not like she's always wearing just the one thing. She, you know, there's entire runs where she's wearing like a trench coat the whole time and stuff like that. So
I gave her the leather jacket.
That's right.
The little short leather jacket.
Uh-huh. Yeah, totally.
In the original run. And then in this new run, she's got like a trench coat.
Uh-huh.
I gave her the trench coat because in regards to the artwork, it's kind of got that flowing.
Yeah.
It's a batwing type. You can do kind of funky things with the shape of the coat behind her and stuff like that. So that was like one of the whole reasons why I gave it to her.
Right.
And there's like a really like you were saying, like a bat like feel, but also like just a very like it makes her mass larger. So it makes her like more intimidating. I felt like when she's, you know, she does one of those superhero landings, right? Like in front of somebody who's like, oh no.
Oh yeah.
Because she's terrifying.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think that this new series has just been a lot of fun to read. I've been having a great time. And I like a lot of the other Vampirella series that are happening. So I think that this one kind of gives that, it's like a post-apocalyptic and like the world is overrun by demons, and then you know, the Christopher Priest one is very, you know, Vampirella living in the city kind of thing. I love the team up between, it's the Jordi Belair series, the team up between Red Sonja and Vampirella that's happening right now. That's great. I think that Dynamite has just kind of been doing really cool, interesting stuff with her and bringing back, you know, one of the best Vampirella runs 25 years later, I think is just a testament to kind of how adventurous they have been with this character and why that's kind of keeping her so interesting right now.
I think the different takes keep her fresh. I mean, I think it, you know, so because some people may not particularly care for one take, but they like this take. So I think it allows for different tastes and stuff in terms of what you're looking for in the character.
And I think she ends up having such like a mythic quality because she's like almost like a goddess, you know, she has so much around her different stories, different takes on it. Like you were saying, it makes her so freaking cool. Like there's a vampy for every occasion. You know?
There is.
What's one of your favorite runs outside of obviously Vengeance of Vampirella?
What with the Vampirella character?
Yeah.
I really loved some of the original black and white magazine run from Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Archie Goodwin, I believe it was Archie Goodwin, who was one of the DC's top editors, was the writer on the book then. And those are a lot of fun. And actually, those kind of almost like planted the seed in my brain to do a lot of the kind of things that I did in my original Vengeance run, because that's when they introduced the Cult of Chaos and stuff like that. So that original black and white run that Archie Goodwin did was really kind of cool.
The art of that whole era, I think, is just gorgeous. Those covers are so beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Unbelievable. Did you grow up on horror comics specifically? Was that one of your first interests?
Oh yeah. Oh God! Yeah. They like the old the Jack Kirby Where Monsters Dwell and Creatures on the Loose, and Monsters on the Prowl, and then when Marvel was allowed to do horror comics, you had Tomb of Dracula, Werewolf by Night.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff was like always my favorite of the book. I love the superhero stuff, but the horror stuff was special.
We were just talking about how Werewolf by Night is like the coolest name for a character who does not get enough playtime.
Yeah, it's almost like it's interesting. It's almost as if they were kind of afraid to do it. You know, it had such a great original run that anybody who's tried to do anything with it after that has never really had the opportunity to kind of stretch their muscles at all. They're always very short lived. They're either miniseries or, mm-hmm, you know, it starts off as a monthly, but they cancel it at issue 5, you know.
Yes. That happening.
I mean, it never gets a chance to get rolling, you know.
That's true. Yeah, I remember whenever Marvel did their, I think maybe late 90s, did a whole, we're going to relaunch our entire horror catalog, basically. Yeah. And Werewolf by Night was good. I mean, it had really good issues, but it was also just like, they did too much too soon, you know, as comics yep. tend to do, where it's just like, here's this, 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 and this. You yep. have to buy all of them. And people are like, I'm already buying 7 X-Men titles. I can't do this. But yeah, that was kind of how I think it went with that character, unfortunately. I, fingers crossed, we're looking for the day. Maybe you'll write it.
Hey, maybe, who knows?
That would yeah, be cool. Knows?
That'd be fun.
I was thinking about the themes in both, like, Vampirella Strikes and Vengeance of Vampirella, and I was thinking about how, like, she has this kind of, like, running theme of, like, I thought I helped make things better, but things are so much worse. And, Tom, I want to know, where does that come from? Is that how you feel? Like,
I think that the character always wants to do what's best, but she has a tendency to kind of not necessarily screw it up, but things are much bigger than she usually realizes. Oh. So it requires her to have to do a little bit more than she thought, which is usually very big and operatic and things like that. But that's what it is. It's always a much larger situation than she realizes.
Well, I love that theme. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think so often, especially in superhero comics, not hating, just observing.
No.
You know, it's like one person saves it all, the end. And I love that Vampy does save it all, and then inevitably, not quite.
Not quite. Still some things to clean up.
Well, and that feels very true to reality, right? Like, we're never done with any of the things that we have to fight in whether it be, like, civil rights or, like, the dishes. Like, it just keeps freaking happening, yeah. And we have to learn how to sustain that energy. So
definitely.
I really liked that idea. I also, another theme that I wanted to hear your insight in is, you know, she talks a lot about fighting her, like, bestial side.
Yes.
Her,
yeah.
Her animal side.
I love to play with that. Yeah.
I was going to say, what is it that you like about it? Like, why does it call to you?
I think it's it's a theme that I return to even a lot in my novels, which is there's a duality to everybody. Everybody has another side to them that they try to keep under control or buried away. And I think with Vampirella, it's when you look at the character, here's this, like, beautiful adventure character who has to keep this monster locked up inside her, or at least be able to keep it on a leash.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It's actually really important for her not to keep it bottled up all the time. That right. side is also what right. saves the world time right. and again.
Well, in the current run, there's a running theme in the new Vengeance where she's worried that she's come back missing something due to her resurrection, like a piece of her soul might be gone. And that monstrous side is much stronger than it should be. And she's having a hard time keeping it under control.
You know, you said that, and I was thinking this when I read it, and it gives me big Buffy vibes from when Buffy comes back from the dead.
I wrote Buffy.
What?
I wrote a bunch of the Buffy novels. I wrote the video games. Christopher.
Oh my God.
And the Angel series, right?
Yeah, I wrote the Angel series with Chris Golden. Yep. We wrote both the video games. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. I'm like, oh my God, Buffy. Well, like, I mean, I think there's something really interesting about this idea of these heroes who, damn it, if they don't just want to be allowed to die, right? Like, they're like, just let me stay dead. And people are like, well, sorry, you're the chosen one. Come on back and save us.
Yeah.
And like there's that resentment. There's that question of, like, am I missing part of who I am? You know, part of me reads that as, like, it's depressing to come back to reality, and, like, you probably don't feel like yourself in that situation.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the reoccurring theme with a lot of those stories is that you're finally at peace. Mm-hmm. You're finally able to relax and enjoy yourself and be yourself and be with your loved ones who've passed on and things like that. And then they yank you back to reality and drop you back down in the middle of the war.
I was in heaven. Yeah. I remember that from the musical episode of Buffy. Yeah. No, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. That's actually a really fun thing to play with.
Totally. I mean, there's this moment where Buffy, when she first comes out of the grave, where she's like, is this hell? And, you know, at first you don't get why she would ask that, because you're like, well, what? You were in hell. And then it's like, oh, shit, no, she was in heaven. This is pretty much hell compared to heaven. Ah! And but Vampy, when she wakes up, she literally is in, like, the demons, right?
Oh, yeah. The world is not a good place right now.
I always think that Vamprilla is kind of the queen of the crossover. I'm always reading crossovers with her that I think are just so, so good. Vamprilla meets aliens. So many great ones. Who do you think that you would like to write a crossover with?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Huh.
I was just now thinking, obviously, Buffy, because we just talked about Buffy. But now I'm maybe the characters from Bone.
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't think Jeff would allow that. I don't know. Vampire Hellboy would be fun.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That'd be so fun.
I can't believe that hasn't happened, actually, now that you say it.
Yeah. I mean, and especially since I've written Hellboy. So, yeah, that would be really fun, actually.
Who do we need to petition?
Yeah.
Mike Mignola.
Yes.
Okay, Mike.
We can do it.
Dear Mike, please call us.
We have opinions.
He's like, what? So what do you like about Hellboy? I mean, I have so much that I love about Hellboy, but I'm just curious, like, what to you was, like,
Hellboy,
the best part of writing Hellboy?
Right. Hellboy, the thing that appeals to me most about Hellboy is that it touches upon almost everything that I absolutely love in fiction. Monsters, action. Adventure, real, like, almost like a 1930s, 1940s pulp vibe.
Mm.
I love all that stuff. But the thing that I think I love the most is Hellboy is like my dad.
Aww.
Hellboy is a blue-collar, working-class Joe. He gets up in the morning, he smokes a cigarette, and he goes and he punches a monster in the face. And it's like he goes to work. You should have a lunch pail. Well, yeah, with a sandwich in the lunch pan. You know, it's just something incredibly familiar and kind of lovable about the character. And I know Mike has talked about his Hellboy being very much like his own father growing up. So I think it's a common theme, maybe with us people, that we kind of see our fathers in that character. I don't know, because my father was very blue collar, very, very working class, it's just the character. It just seems to be just so incredibly relatable. You know what it's like to be Hellboy, because he's just so disgusted with some of the stuff he has to do. He doesn't want to do that.
Yeah. I would have never come to that on my own, that description. But, like, now that you've said it, I will never see Hellboy the same way.
Yeah.
I think that is part of what makes him so lovable. He's so down to earth. He's so, like, I'm tired from working. Like,
yeah, well, I mean,
just want to eat my candy.
Well, I mean, read his dialogue. I mean, his, you know, Mike's dialogue for Hellboy is fantastic, because it's so normal. I mean, it's so, like, ah, crap. You know, that's like a famous Hellboy quote, ah,
right.
Crap. Because things just don't ever really go 100% for him. He's not good with technology. It blows up in his hands, usually. I mean, it's just very, I don't know, there's just something incredibly relatable about the character.
Right, and especially for, like, a big demon
with
a giant hand.
Yeah.
To be so, like, I there's almost, like, a teddy bear quality to him.
Yeah.
Like, he's just giant and... He happens to be a demon, but he's really just, like, you know, a normal guy.
Just like an average Joe.
I love it.
What was working on Bone like? Because I haven't read your stuff. Now I'm going to have to hunt down these novels.
The Bone stuff was an incredible honor. It kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, I'd known Jeff Smith and his wife, Vijaya, for a couple of years. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I get this phone call from Vijaya, his wife, who said, do you want to write the prequel to Bone? And it was kind of like, excuse me? What did you just ask me? She was like, yeah, we're thinking of doing a prequel of stories that take place prior to the original Bone series. Would you want to write that? And Jeff will draw it, but do you want to write it? So after I picked myself up off the floor, I jumped right into that. I mean, that was something, there was no way I was going to turn that down, but it was incredibly daunting. I mean, talk about,
oh yeah.
I mean, it was new characters. I mean, it was Big Johnson Bone is the main character in the original. He's the founder of Boneville. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like a tall tale, like a like a Paul Bunyan, and you know, Babe the Blue Ox, and all that stuff. So the stories were incredibly over the top, and it was super fun to do. But yeah, I was scared. I was quite scared doing Bone.
Right, because it's kind of his baby, right? I mean, I read his Shazam series as well, of course.
Oh, that was wonderful. His Shazam stuff was wonderful.
It really was. It's one of my favorites still. Yeah. I think that it was so good at capturing modern times and that nostalgic feel that you really look for with Shazam.
Definitely.
Yeah, I thought that was great. But then at the same time, you can't ever top something that's like, you know, Bone, where he just took years and years and years of his life and created this entire world that we can visit, you know?
Definitely.
Man.
I'll give you a little inside scoop that probably I don't think I've ever told this on a podcast or anything before.
When I was
writing the original series, I was like outlining the issues and stuff like that and getting ready to start to script the very first issue of it was called Stupid Rat Tales, was the original title. Jeff, I guess, made an appearance on a comics radio show, and happened to mention on the radio show that, yeah, in this story, This is we find out how the rat creatures lost their tails. Now, this was something that I had never discussed. I had never heard of this part of the story. I had no idea. And he tells me this, and I'm like, where did that come from? That was never in any of the original outlines of stuff we discussed. And he was like, oh, really? I thought it was.
So, he just has like the whole story so fleshed out in his mind.
Yeah,
like,
I guess.
Hey, you didn't read my mind and know anything.
Yeah, it was something. Obviously, it was something that he must have been thinking about and thought it was kind of funny, because it would play up that whole tall tales thing, you know, because the raccoons don't have tails now, but or the current in the Bone Run, but they had these big long rat like tails, according to Jeff. So I had to incorporate that into the story as to why they don't have tails anymore.
Yeah. Oh, talk about script notes.
I know.
What comics are you reading these days? You said that you're still reading tons of
I read
comics.
I read just about everything from everybody. I'm loving Donny Cates' run on Thor, the new Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we loved the Silver Surfer series that he just did, Silver Surfer Black. That was great.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Jason Aaron's run on the Avengers has been really fun.
Totally, yeah.
I'm enjoying the current Batman run. It isn't like Detective Comics is Pete Tomasi. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing a nice job. I love Batman is probably one of my favorite characters. So I read all the Bat stuff. Yeah. You name it, I probably read it. I love you know what I really have loved? Joe Hill, Stephen King's son.
Yeah.
Does a new line of comics for DC called Hill House.
Right.
And I just read Basketful of Heads, the first five issues of Basketful of Heads, which was fantastic.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I haven't checked it out yet, but I heard that had happened.
Yeah, they're really good. I guess it's like four or five titles, but I've read Basketful of Heads, and I've got the other ones waiting to read. I get way behind because I buy so much. So
oh, same,
I
yeah.
To, yeah, I have to... budget my time for comic reading.
You said that you're working on a novel, yeah?
I'm working on like my 40 45th or 46th novel, yeah.
Right, yeah. I saw quite a list on your Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Yeah, I had no idea. Once again, I come to your work through Vamprilla, so I'm very delighted to find out that there's so much more to go through. But I was just curious kind of where you're heading with novels right now. Where's your work at whenever it comes to that?
The last novel I wrote was a kid's book called Atomic Frenchie, which is based on my French bulldog.
I already love it.
Basically, it was what if the cute little French bulldog that lives next door to you is trying to take over the world? He's a criminal, like a criminal.
And maybe we should let them. Maybe we should just let them. Maybe it'll be better.
You know what? You are right. You are right. Currently, I'm working on a new book with a writing partner, a new writer named Janine Surrett Acheson is her name, and she's young and fantastic, and somebody who I'm really, really enjoying working with on this kind of a supernatural mystery story. I don't want to really give that much more away because it's still we're still kind of developing. We're still developing the book itself. We haven't sold it yet, but we're currently pulling that together, and that's been an amazing experience working with her on that because she's fantastic. But that's kind of been between that Vampirella and the secret project at Dark Horse. That's pretty much been, those have been like the three things that have taken up all my time.
They sound two secret projects and Vampy makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you can tell us about where Vamprilla is going from where we're at right now? That's not too spoilery.
I just finished scripting issue 10.
Oh wow! Yeah,
this morning, and we're heading towards this like ultimate confrontation between Vamprilla and Nyx.
Yes,
we're definitely getting there, and it's kind of like armies are building on both sides. So we're gonna get this kind of apocalyptic battle.
But
everybody knows that it's gonna come down to Nyx and Vamprilla.
Of course,
that's gonna happen. But
you've kind of put yourself in a place where you ended the last run on such kind of this epic note, and now you're like, oh, I gotta go a little bit further.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. I'm actually bringing back a lot of the characters from my original run in this one.
Pendragon, right? He's been through this whole thing.
Yeah, he says Pendragon, who's slightly altered by another character called Passion.
Right.
I was going to say Passion is such a cool character.
Yeah. Passion was great. So I thought it was really neat. What if I merged Pendragon and Passion together?
So cool. And when Vampy goes in to fight, you know, I'm not going to give everything away, but like some people.
Yeah.
And Passion goes with her little like selves she creates.
Oh yeah.
Those panels were so cool.
Yeah, because they're actually living inside Passion too. Passion's like this huge craft that hovers above the earth.
That's something I really like about all the Vampy issues that I've read of yours is just you have such a rich secondary cast. So even like the villains are so rich and motivated. Like I love Nyx as like, you're not the boss of me. love that. That's just irresistible. Like I love that like everyone, all the baddies are like, Vampy's back. I'm so happy. Should I kill her? You know, like that's a really delightful run. But then yeah, Passion and Pendragon are both such interesting characters who make good decisions, bad decisions, questionable decisions. And it's just, it really enriches the storyline. And I think it also reflects Vampirella's own struggle through their struggles. And I always enjoy that.
Yeah. And I also brought back Hemorrhage, which was the villain that I created in the original run. Also.
So creepy.
Yeah. He's really creepy. He was somebody that I was just dying to get to write him again. He was one of those things that I was like, I got to find the perfect place to bring him back, and I'm going to write the hell out of him when I do.
Oh, yeah. Like, at first I'm like, oh, okay, someone who can manipulate blood. And then I realized he can manipulate other liquids and, like, chooses blood. And I was like, he's so evil. I love it. Oh, I just want to say The first time Vampirella shows up on Earth in Vengeance of Vampirella, I got chills head to toe.
Yeah, seriously.
I was like, whoo, damn, she is back. And it was just such a nice visceral moment. And I'm wondering, like, what were you thinking when you had her land and you framed her that way? What were you trying to communicate?
Well, basically exactly what you just said. I mean, it's that badass moment. She is back. You know what I mean? And you want the reader to feel that that's something important, that her being back is going to mean change. It's going to mean things are going to be really different now that she's back. And yeah, that's the whole point of that moment, is just to convey that, you know, not the savior, but somebody who is going to do something for this pathetic world is back. Yeah.
In the whole first issue, she's like barely in it, and then she pops up like at the very end, and
she's resurrected at the end. Yeah.
It was just so fun. I mean, it's such a fun run. I think I love that, you know, Nyx and Hemorrhage try to call her out and she's like, no, 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 I'm focused.
Yeah.
And it was like, it thwarts everything they're trying to do because she doesn't get into their game. And it's like, oh, that's so interesting. Of course she would be that way, you know? How cool.
But at the same time, she's torn because innocent lives could be lost as a result of her keeping her distance. So there's that battle that she has to have with herself as to, you know, do I throw myself into this and potentially get killed again? Or do I plan more? Do I, you know, sit back and figure this stuff out before I make my move?
Yeah, I like that dilemma she has to have, because she's like, what makes you think Nyx won't just kill me again?
She killed me.
Like, why wouldn't you do it again?
I mean,
and everyone's like, oh.
Yeah, well, Nyx is no lightweight. Nyx is a pretty powerful character. God, so, yeah.
Well, this has just been a damn delight, Tom. Thank you so much. It's clear how much you love our girl, Vampy. We obviously are obsessed with her, too. So it's just been super fun to talk about her.
Thank you. That was really fun to talk about her.
I'm very much looking forward to the rest of the run. And I now have a whole library of stuff that I can go read now that I see that you have written so much.
Yeah, I've written a bunch of stuff. I mean, original novels, and I've done some, like, I did a couple of books with Mike Mignola, and yeah, there's a couple of cool things.
Seems like you stay busy.
It keeps me out of trouble.
That's what I tell myself every day when I wake up at 7 and start working. I'm not in trouble yet.
Not yet.
Well, thank you so much. Make sure you check out Vengeance of Vampirella. Tom's back after 25 years. Vampirella's back after 25 years. It is a run not to be missed. Thank you.
That was fun.